Thank you. Okay. We are two lines from the top, Ayin Dalel Amud Aleph. Before I go weiter, I just want to point out that in Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, when they asked Rav Sheshes the Shaila whether an Aro could eat Meiser, he answered no. He brought a Raya from that Mishnah that didn't lift it in the Chumrah. We got out of that Raya. But Rav Sheshes' personal opinion was that an Aro cannot eat Meiser. We're trying to prove him, he tried to prove himself right. We got out of the proof. We tried to bring other proofs as well. We're going to try right now. But his personal opinion didn't change. He held that an Aro cannot eat Meiser. He brought a proof. We got out of the proof. We are up to now, Ayin Dalel Amud Aleph. We're going to again try to prove that an Aro cannot eat Meiser. Tashma, two lines from the top, Ayin Dalel Amud Aleph, 74A1. Yisairah by Titin Hama'akman Asamila. If there were strands of skin that makes the mila not effective, meaning that has to be fixed up. Haradei noichu loy betruma, considered an aro, cannot eat truma, loy bepesach, loy bekadishim, loy bemaisa. Can eat truma, pesach, kadishim, and maisa. My love, maisa dagan. Doesn't that mean can eat maisa sheni? Just called maisa dagan because it's on, biblically on grain, wine, and oil, so we say dagan. And for the Gemara, loy meiser behema, referring to a different type of meiser, which is one-tenth of all new baby animals born, are put into a pen. The animals are put into a pen, and they're counted 1 through 9, and the number 10 is smacked with a red paint, and that becomes a carbon called meiser behema. We discussed this at the end of yesterday. Meiser behema is one of the two korbanos that the kohen gets zero out of. Meiser behema and Pesach. Meiser behema can be eaten by the owner for 2 days and one night. The kohen gets no share of it. But that's Meiser behema. We have to bring it as a korban. If it gets a mum, there's all kinds of halachas in Masechtas Bechiras, and I think in other Masechtas that the Gemara talks about it at length. But at this point, we're not interested in that. We're just saying that an aro can't eat Meiser behema. Frek the Gemara, Meiser behema, haidu kachim. I don't have to mention Meiser behema. I already said kachim, right? It said loy be kachim. Doesn't that include all korbanos? That would include maaser behema. So therefore, automatically, maaser must mean maaser dagan. Dr. Gemara tameich. And again, the Jewish way of answering a question is to ask another question. And if you want to say it means maaser dagan, I have another kasha. We loy tzanam pesach uktani kachim. Does pesach and it says kachim? Isn't pesach included in kachim? So the fact that one is specified doesn't mean that it has a different meaning. Great question. But you have that question anyway, because Pesach is brought in the Brisa, and it doesn't say in the test Kachim as well. Dr. Gemara, it's not an answer, because Bishlam the Pesach the Kachim Tzrichi. It had to say Pesach and Kachim, because I'll tell you why. Meaning it was necessary to spell out Pesach specifically, and then kachim generally. Why? He's trying to pass the kachim to Arlus the Pesach scene. And it just said Pesach, I would have said Pesach is special. Because the halacha of an Arl not eating kachim is written by Pesach called Arl lo yechobai. I would have said it's a special halacha by Pesach, which does not apply to other kabbalas. I have a kachim name alone. He's trying to kachim, had it only said kachim, right? I wouldn't have said kachim means all kabbalas. Hava Amina, I would have said, my kachim, it means Pesach. I would have said, kachim means Pesach. And therefore, I would have said, only Pesach, not other kabbalas. Therefore, it had to say Pesach specifically, and then say kachim, because I should know it includes all other kabbalas. But once it says kachim and it includes all other kabbalas, there's no reason to mention Maisha Behema. And the Maisha Behema Lomali, why would it mention Maisha Behema? Zog the Gemara, there's no Rashi in this Gemara. Dr. Gemara, you're right. Meiser cannot mean Meiser Behema. But it might also not mean Meiser Sheni. So what does it mean? Dr. Gemara, Ela Meiser Rishon, Rabbeu Hidomer Meiser Rishon, Asu Mezara. This is Machlokes Tanoim. We Paskin, by Rabbanon. The Meiser Rishon has no Kedusha. Person gives a tenth of his produce to a lady. The lady gives a tenth of that to a kayan, which is called Tumas Meiser, that has Kedusha, that can only be eaten by a kayan. But the 90% that the lady keeps, which is called Meiser Rishon, we Paskim had no Kedusha. It is an obligation to separate it in order to take off the name of Tevel, and I want to get back to that in a second. And then there's a monetary obligation to give it to the Levi. But it's a monetary obligation. It is not a Kedusha obligation. Let me try to explain. When a person grows produce, the Torah insists that he separate certain things in order to make the produce edible. And unless he separates all those things, the produce is forbidden to be eaten because it's called Tevel. He has to separate Bikurim if it pertains, if it's Shem Aminim. He has to separate Tuma. He has to separate Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani, depending which year of Shemit it is. If he doesn't separate those items, he cannot eat his produce. Once he separates them, his produce becomes permissible to eat, even if he didn't deliver them yet. But they have different statuses. Maaser Truma, for instance, cannot be eaten by Yisrael. So besides the monetary obligation to give the truma to the kayyim, because that's what the Torah wants you to do, a Yisrael eats it to be chayyim misa b'nei shamayim. It's prohibited to a Yisrael. Maaser Sheni can't be eaten out of Yerushalayim. Once it's in Yerushalayim, it can be eaten by any Yisrael. Not by a Tameh, and we don't know about an Aro, right? Once you bring it to Yerushalayim, you can eat it. Everybody, but out of Yerushalayim, there are halachic restrictions of eating Maaser Sheni. Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani, there are no halachic restrictions, according to the Rabbanon, for anybody to eat them. It's just a monetary obligation the Torah wants it given to a Levi. Once the Levi has it, he can invite anybody, all his friends over for a party, and they can all eat it. There is no Isser, there's no Kedusha to Maaser Rishon, according to the Rabbanon. It is just a monetary obligation. One has to separate it. Once it's separate, the produce is no longer Tevel for Maaser Rishon. And then there's a second obligation, give the Maaser Rishon to a Levi. But if you don't give it to the Levi, that's stealing. It's not that if you're eating it, you're committing an Isser of eating Maaser Rishon. There is no such Isser. Yes, there is. You're stealing because you owe it to the Levi. However, Reb Meir disagrees, and he says that Maaser Rishon gets Kedusha, and it can only be eaten by Levim and Kehanim, cannot be eaten by Yisraelim. And even if you deliver it to the Levi, he cannot invite his Yisrael friend to eat it. Now, according to Reb Meir, Maaser Rishon has Kedusha to it, so the Gemara wants to answer, he would say that an Aron, just like he can't eat Truma, which has Kedusha, cannot eat Maaser Rishon because it is limited to Levi, and an Aron is restricted from eating it. But Maaser Sheni that every Yisrael can eat, we don't know. So instead of translating the word Maaser in the Braita to be Maaser Sheni, and then we tried to say it meant Maaser Behema, now we say that it's not Maaser Sheni and it's not Maaser Behema, but rather on Maaser Rishon Rameiri, it's going like Rameir, the Amar Maaser Rishon Asu Lazara. He says that Maaser Rishon is prohibited for Yisrael to eat it. Therefore, it has Kedusha to it, and it's like Truma in the sense that an Aron can't eat it. Rashi, Remehu Yidam Rebbe Peh Gesh Mitaris, Maaser Rishon Asu Lazarim, Lukach L'Inyan Arelus, Nami Chama. So at this point, again, we have no proof whether Maaser Sheni is Asu Lazarim. It seems like a good proof, but the Gemara got out of it and saying, this Raisa was offered by Remehu, who holds that Maaser Rishon is Asu Lazarim. If a Maaser Rishon is also to an Aron, Maaser Sheni, we still don't know. Tashma. V'detani Rav Chiya bar Rav v'difti. Rav Chiya from Rav v'difti learned the following brisa. Aron aser b'shtei maisers. An Aron is aser in two different kinds of maiser. My love, our hagamina is, echad maiser dagan, echad maiser behed. The two maisers would be Maaser Sheni and Maaser Behema. Those would be the two Maasers that an Aron cannot eat. And again, it would be a proof that Aron was Aser B'Maaser. And for the Gemara, Hachinami Maaser Rishon B'Reb Meir. No, the second Maaser over there might be Maaser Rishon like Reb Meir. And again, it doesn't prove anything because it might not be talking about Maaser Sheni. If you notice, all three rayas were that Aron is Aser B'Maaser Sheni. We got out of each one, but at least every Hava Mina was to prove that an Aron is Aser B'Maaser. We got out, The last two we got out by saying, going like Rameyer, and it's going on my Sereshin, and my Sereshin is usher to a Yisroel, and it's also usher to an Oral. Tashma, Einan usher b'maiser, v'mutter b'truma b'para. Again, this is a concept. We have Truma, Maiser, Paraduma. Three things. Truma, Maiser, and Paraduma. And Maiser over here is Maiser Sheni. And it says that Einan, that is somebody who lost one of his seven relatives, Rechlana Litzlan, and it's the day of the death of the seven relatives, Asir b'Maiser. The Torah says, V'yachalti b'Oini nimenu, right? The Torah explicitly states that a person has to say by Vidya Maiser that he didn't eat it while he was an Einan. Then we derive that an Einan cannot eat Maiser. That's Maiser Sheni. Umutu b'Truma, we had a passage that said, V'chol Zar, Zaras Amartilach V'loy Aninus, we've had this question multiple times, that an Einan is allowed to eat Truma. Uba Para, an Einan can be the one that sprinkles the Paraduma. He can be the one that does the hazav, or the mixing of the ashes in the water of a paraduma. It is not; he's not banned from doing that. Again, he's not tamei. He didn't touch the mate. He wasn't one of the seven relatives.
Are the IT
that was nifter. So he's allowed to do paraduma. That's what the Braita said. The Braita continues. It says toyaim. A person who went to the mikvah and the sun had not set yet, he's asher b'truma, right? We're going to learn that from Sukkim coming up. That a toyaim cannot eat truma till the sun sets. Umutter b'para, he's allowed to sprinkle para u'b'maiser. If you notice, the einan was asher in one and mutter in two. The toyaim is asher in another one and mutter in two. So out of the three things, truma, maiser, and paraduma, we had Einan, Asur, and Meister, and Mutter, and the other two. Tuyayim, Asur, and Truma, Mutter, and the other two. And here comes the third one, Mechusa Kippurim. Now, let me explain what Mechusa Kippurim is in a second. Let me just finish the line. Asur, and Para, and Mutter, and Truma, and Meister. He's Asur, and Para, and he's Mutter, and Truma, and Meister. Let me explain. Most Tumas, as soon as the person went to the mikvah and the sun set, he's totally Tahar. He has nothing else to do. He's considered 100% tar. The guy is a Valkyrie. The guy touched the sheretz. A guy touched the nevela. Even a tamei mace who has to be sprinkled on the third day and the seventh day. But then he just goes to the mikvah, and that night he's totally tar. No, nothing else is required. There are four tumas that the Torah says that the day after the tumah is over, they need to bring a carbon. That is called Mechusa Kippurim. They are lacking their carbon. That is a level, four tumas have that level tuma. Zav, Zava, Yitzhaira, and Yeletus. Four tumas, the day they go to the mikvah, the sun sets, they still have to bring a carbon the next day. The halacha is that a Mechusa Kippurim cannot sprinkle paraduma. Even though we allow the Tzvuyayim, who is before the sunset, it's only from a type of tumah that ends at night. But if that type of tumah requires a carbon the next day, then he's not allowed to do the par. It's an interesting concept, but again, let me try to get it clear. Here is
what are the four tumas again? What are the four tumas again? What are the four tumas again?
I'm going to try again. Mechusa Kippurim is someone who he has one of four tumas that don't end with Harav Shemesh. Let me just go through this. Let me take 2 minutes to try to explain this. And again, if I don't come through clearly, please ask me to explain it again. Every tamei is tamei for a number of days or one day, whatever the amount of days is. He goes to the mikvah the last day of his tumah. And then he waits. At that point, he's considered a toyayin. He went to the mikvah that day, and now he waits for the sun to set. So at that point, he's a Tvuyayim, who still needs the sun to set, which is in the Gemara called Harav Shemesh. He still needs the setting of the sun. So let's say a guy is a Balkeri, he's Tamei, can't eat kachim, can't eat truma, can't eat meiser. He's tameh. Goes to the mikvah. At that point, he's allowed to eat meiser, but he can't eat truma and kachim. But at night, the sun sets. At that point, he can eat truma and he can eat kachim. He can eat everything. He's totally tahar. There's no other requirement from him. Sun sets, he's tahar. Nothing else to be done. That is most tumas. Tumay mace, for instance, is more severe. It's a 7-day tumma. He needs paraduma water sprinkled on him. But again, on day 7, he goes to the mikvah, and the night afterwards, he's totally tahar. He can do or eat anything. He has no restrictions at all. There are 4 tumas that the Torah placed an extra requirement to become completely tahar. And those 4 tumas are zav, zava, mitzaira, and yeleda. Now, the reason zav and zav are 2, because it's different kind of discharges. By a man, it's a white discharge, and by a lady, it's a red discharge. And the mitzaira is the same, both man and lady. And the yeleda means a woman that gave birth. Those people are tamei. The day after they go to the mikvah and the sun sets, they have to bring a carbon the next morning. And until they bring the carbon, they still have restrictions of tumah upon them. Lesser restrictions, but restrictions nonetheless. Now, we had a Xeris HaKasu that we learned out that by Paraduma, a Tzvul Yoim can be the one that does the sprinkling. We learned it out. We had it last week. Since it said an extra word tahar to tell me that he's not completely tahar, that once he went to the mikvah, he can sprinkle the Paraduma water, even though the sun didn't set. That is limited to the types of tumah that when the sun sets, they're totally finished with it. But if it's a type of tumah that still needs a carbon the next day, the Torah does not allow him to sprinkle the paraduma water. So there's a difference. A Balkari goes to the mikvah, and he's waiting for his sun to set. He can sprinkle paraduma water. The Zav goes to the mikvah, and he's waiting for his sun to set, cannot sprinkle the paraduma water, because he still has to bring a carbon the next day, so his tumah is more severe, and therefore the Torah did not allow him to sprinkle the paraduma water until after he brings his carbon. He is called a mechuser kippurim. He's missing a carbon. So that which we say a tzvuyayim can sprinkle para is only on those types of tumas that end with the setting of the sun. But any tumah that requires more than the setting of the sun, it requires an extra step the next day of bringing a carbon, that is a more severe tumah. And the Torah did not allow that by paraduma. However, he can eat truma, because once the sun set, he can eat truma. So mechuser kippurim can eat meiser, can eat truma, but he can't do para. So that's what the Braisa said. Mechuser kippurim, asur b'para, mutar b'truma b'meiser. So again, let's review this. We had 3 things: para, meiser, sheni, and truma. Einan is only restricted to meiser sheni. Not restricted from truma, not restricted from para. Tzvuyayim is a tumah that went to the mikvah and it sets, when the sun sets at night, he'll be totally tahar. A tzvuyayim is restricted from truma, not from meiser. Once he went to the mikvah, he can eat meiser sheni. We're going to learn that from Sukkim. And not from paraduma, special xeris hakasuv, that a tzvuyayim can sprinkle paraduma water. A mechuser kippurim, who is, he has to bring a carbon the next morning. He is not allowed to do paraduma, but once his sun set at night, he can't do paraduma because he didn't bring his carbon yet the next day, but he can eat meiser and he can eat truma. So each one of these 3 has 1 thing aser and 2 things mutter. Einan is aser b'meiser, mutter b'truma b'para. Tzvuyayim is aser b'truma, mutter b'para b'meiser. And a mechuser kippurim is aser b'para and mutter b'truma b'meiser. Those are the 3 halachas of this Raisa. Let's catch up with Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Aina Muta Bapara, the Kacha Benekabayas, even Loy Kacha Mizbeach. It's not a carbon. Paraduma is not even brought into the Azara. Done totally out of the Beis HaMikdash. So it's not considered a carbon for most things. Matinu Tuyayim Mutaba, we found a pasik that says a Tuyayim can sprinkle. We learned that last week. The Kosh gave Aina, there's no reason to restrict an Aina. The Chosiki Purim, Tumah the boy carbon, a tumah that needs a carbon. He didn't bring his kapara yet. He's usher to do para. The mechutzer maisahu, he still needs an action. Unlike the tulyayim, that all he needs is the sun to set. That's not an action on his part. And because the kippurim, it requires an action on his part. As if he's still completely coming. The koshkin tulyayim dila, yikitarki. A tulyayim of a tumba that needs a carbon, it's most of you. He needs the sun to set and to bring the carbon. When we said a tulyayim can do para, it's only a tulyayim that only needs the sun to set. Any tulyayim that needs more than that is a mechutz kippurim cannot do para. The Rashi explains that, right? Abba tulyayim the tumas meis the sheret mutarba can do para the shimshim emela arba because the sun sets on its own. Mulah mechutz maitu he still doesn't have, he doesn't have to do any more act. Last week we learned this drasha. The extra word tahar told us that he's partially tameh. The mishri tuyayim asa. Only a tuyayim who doesn't have to do anything anymore. But loy mechutz kippurim. But since the mechutz kippurim has to do something, he is not permitted in the paraduma. So again, I just want to point out that the mechutz kippurim is after the sun set. He's still mechutz kippurim. Before the sunset, he's both a tulyayim and a mechutz kippurim. He cannot do para. A tulyayim that can do para is only a tulyayim that doesn't need any more than the sun setting. I hope I explained myself well. If there's any questions, please ask. Dante Gemara. But if you're going to say that an arul is mutter and meiser, so then an arul can do hazah, we had that earlier, that an arul can do hazah. We had that, I believe in Ayin Beis, Amid Beis, that arul shehizah hazah to kashera, said that clearly, that arul that sprinkled the hazah is kasher, except according to Akiva, if we remember in Ayin Beis, Amid Beis, we had that Gemara, that an arul who sprinkles the hazah is kasher unless you hold back Akiva. So an arul can do para, an arul can eat meiser if you hold an arul with mutter b'meiser, and he can't eat truma. So why didn't the Braisa list an arul as being usher in one and mutter in two? Just like it listed Einan, Tuyayim, Mechutz Kippurim, the Misa, if you hold that an arul was mutter b'meiser, this is the arul usher b'truma, mutter b'para b'meiser. Why don't we add that to the list of things that are mutter in one and usher in the other two? By omission, the Braisa obviously is saying that arul is usher in two out of the three. We're looking at things that are usher in one out of the three. Arul is usher in two out of the three. Right? Since arul is usher in two out of the three, so let us say that if you hold arul as mutter b'meiser, it's one out of the three. It's a raya that arul is usher and meiser, therefore the Braisa couldn't list it. And for the Gemara, no raya. High time of the Bay Rav Akiva, he, the Marmalei L'Arul Ketamei. If you remember, we said an Arul according to Rav Akiva cannot sprinkle. Arul is like a Tamei. So therefore, according to Rav Akiva, this Braisa couldn't say Arul, Aser B'Truma, or Mutter B'Meiser B'Para. Not true. An Arul is not Mutter B'Para. Therefore, the Braisa couldn't list it. But Eino Chinam, if we don't hold like Rav Akiva, the Braisa could have listed it. But the author of the Braisa is Rav Akiva, the Tanya Rav Akiva Weinberg. Ish the rabbi says Arul. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, if he says Arul mutter b'meiser, if you're going to say Arul is mutter b'meiser, listen, let it learn, right? Let it learn, listen, let it learn it. The Arul asa b'truma mutter b'par b'meiser, because I'm a little, like we learned on Ayin Beis of the day, Arul shehiz has asa b'sheva. And we did like Tanya, and since it didn't say that, must be not true, meaning arul is usher and meiser, therefore it can't be listed as something that's usher in one and usher and mutter in the other two. And for the Gemara, Tana de Meir Bekivi, the usher el nabi le nabi bepara. Bekivi usher, then arul can't do para. The Tana de El, tumtum shikidish kedush apostle. Remember we had that bride that said a tumtum, which you don't know male or, we don't know if he's male or female, but if he's male, he's an arul. We said he can't mix the ashes in the water. So it's going to be Akiva, and we said it's going to learn from Akiva. So again, at the end of the day, we have no raya, whether arul is aser b'meiser or mutter b'meiser. And at this point, we won't find a raya. We tried many times to prove that an aro is out of the miser. We wiggled out of all of them. But if you remember, again, I want to stress that Rav Sheshet himself said aro is out of the miser. He brought a proof that we got out of, but his opinion was that aro is out of the miser. We never had anybody express an opinion that aro is mutter the miser. All we had was an answer that none of the proofs are proofs. The Gemara now goes off on a little bit of a tangent. Since we brought Rabbi Kiva in, and we said Rabbi Kiva holds that an aro cannot sprinkle par aduma, so we're curious. And the truth is, the Gemara could have asked this earlier. Remember, we said that one Mandiyama said an aro could sprinkle par aduma. Which Tana is that? But Rabbi Kiva says aro can't sprinkle par aduma. Do we have a Tana that says that he can? Dr. Gemara, Man Tana, who is the Tana, the public elector of Akiva, who argues under the Akiva when he says that a para can sprinkle paraduma, that an aro can sprinkle paraduma. Tana de Rabbi Yaisi Hababli. It's a Tana.
Rabbi, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Rabbi?
Yes, I'm listening.
Right now, we don't have a proof that it's usher, but does that mean it's mutter? Right now, what do we hold? Are we holding that an aro can eat maaser sheni?
At this point in the Gemara, the sheni is that an aro can eat, and nobody else has any opinion opposite him or for him.
So he shlugged it. You can't make an issue if you don't have his support for it. He made a statement, and every time he brought his support, it was shlugged up, so you can eat it.
Correct and not correct. Meaning correct that we have no proof, but not correct that he changed his opinion.
Not that he changed his opinion, but since you don't, why are you assuming that, so you're saying right now we don't know, or right now it's still, since he's the only one that said anything, we still assume that he's right?
We don't know, and he knew. That's what we're saying. At this point, we don't know, but he felt confident that he knew.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what we say. Okay. Something about a man Tana, the polygalager Bekiva. Who is the Tana that says that an aro could sprinkle a paraduma? Who is the Tana we base it on? Tana, the Rabbi Yaisi Hababli. It's the Tana of Rabbi Yaisi Hababli. Now, I'm going to learn like Rashi. The Gra learns that the Rishayim struggle with this Gemara, therefore he changes the Gersa. But we're going to learn like Rashi. Tanya. There's a Machlokes as follows. Shreifas Oinam and Mechusa Kippurim Kshera. The burning of the Par Aduma done by the Oinam or Mechusa Kippurim is kosher. Unlike what we said before, if you remember before we said that the Mechusa Kippurim is pasul by para, this Tana says Mechusa Kippurim is kosher the para. He says no, Mechusa Kippurim cannot do para like we said before. Now, what in the world does this have to do with aro? And that's the struggle that we try to have. We bring the Gemara says somebody's arguing Rabbi Kiva about aro. And we bring a brisa that has zero to do with aro. Let's learn Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Uman Tana Dalil, the Aksha aro, the para, who is the Tana before that made aro kosher by para? Upalig Alei Rabbi Kiva, did the Tani Dalil, like we learned, aro shehiz hazasim shera. We had an Abaira say that if aro does hazah, it's kosher. Who is the Tana that argues in Rabbi Kiva? Hachi Gesinan, Tana de Yaisav Hababli, Hanakama de Yaisav Hababli, is the Kanakam of Yosef Ababli, Namar Mechusa Kippurim Kasher Bepara. He says Mechusa Kippurim is Kasher. Ramas Nisan, the Ukmil Lekir Bekiva, Tzani Mechusa Kippurim, Pasul Bepara. The Brisa before, which we said it was Rabbi Kiva, held the Mechusa Kippurim is Pasul. The Kihecha, the Polig, of Mechusa Kippurim, Ikulamaymar, the Polig, Nami Aleva Arulil. So Rashi says, if he's arguing about Mechusa Kippurim, he probably argues by aro also, and he holds an aro as mutter. So if you notice, it's not a direct proof that Aro is mutter. Since this Tana says Mechus Kippurim is mutter, and Rabbi Akiva says Mechus Kippurim is aser, so if he argues about Mechus Kippurim, we're assuming that he would argue about Aro also. That's how Rashi learns the sugya. The Gaon holds it's a big daichik, because the Gemara never brought a raya that anybody said Aro was kasher by Para. The Gemara brought a raya that somebody said Mechus Kippurim is kasher by Para. So Rashi says, once we find somebody that's Makshur Mechus Kippurim, that person is also Makshur Aro. Okay? That's how Rashi learns. We learn like Rashi. The Gra takes out the word the Palagaleja Bekiva. He says, Mantana, the Palik, who is the Tana that argues by Mechus Kippurim? It's nothing to do with Aro. We're just bringing a raya that Mechus Kippurim is not an accepted halacha to Makhlaikis Tanoim. That's a simpler way of reading the Gemara, but it's not Argusa. Because Argusa says Mantana the Palagaleja or Bekiva, which seems to indicate they're arguing about Aro. So Rashi says that the Gemara means to say, since we find somebody argue by Mechus Kippurim, we assume that that same person would argue by Aro as well. Right. V'af Rabbi Yitzchak Tzavar, Aro Asa B'Maiser. Rabbi Yitzchak agrees to Rav Sheshes. He says that Aro cannot eat Maiser Sheni. Damar Rabbi Yitzchak, Minayin V'Aro Sh'Asa B'Maiser. How do I know an Aro is Asa B'Maiser Sheni? Nemar Mimenu B'Maiser. It says the word Mimenu by Maiser. V'Nemar Mimenu B'Petach. And it says the word Mimenu by Petach. And the Gemara is going to bring the Psukim momentarily. Right? Ma mimenu amr b'pesach oro aser bai, av mimenu amr b'maisu oro aser bai. So Yitzchak brings a gzeri shava that derives maiser sheni from Pesach to tell me that an oro is aser. Now, that ayin gimel amr aleph, we brought that gzeri shava from Pesach to Maiser back then, and the question was whether we go both ways or one way. Remember, that was the Shaila, how do you use that Gzeri Shavah, right? And Rav Yitzchak seems to think it's a complete Gzeri Shavah. And since it's a complete Gzeri Shavah, we learn out that Aro is Asher the Maiser. So that's the way Rav Yitzchak Paskim, like Rav Sheshes. Again, do we have a proof from a Braisa? No. Do we have a proof from a Mishnah? No. But both Rav Sheshes and Rav Yitzchak seem to assume that the Gzeri Shavah works both ways, and therefore an Aro is Aser and Maaser Sheni. That's what the Gemara comes out. This is the Matzkan of the Gemara with Rav Yitzchak and Rav Sheshes' opinion, with nobody expressing an opinion the other way. That's what I meant before when I think Dr. Harris is the one that asked me, what do we hold? Well, if Rav Yitzchak and Rav Sheshes say it, and nobody disputes it, we didn't prove them right, but we didn't prove them wrong, and there's no reason to assume not to paskin like them. It was the way to read the Gzeri Shavah. They read the Gzeri Shavah as going both ways. I didn't finish a Rashi yet. Sarvei v'sarnei mechus kippurim shera. Yaisav ababli ha'mayin shera mechus kippurim psula. And Rashi repeats what he said earlier. The kibbutz mechus ha'maisa, since the mechus kippurim has to do an action of bringing a carbon, mechus kippurim ha'maisa, Adayin Tumah Olav, but like Kriya Beitahar. He's still considered Tameh. The Tameh is not allowed.
No one argues on Rabbi. We didn't slug up Rabbi Yitzchak, did we?
We didn't slug up Rabbi Yitzchak, but he didn't. Again, Rabbi Yitzchak didn't say anything that we didn't know before. Meaning, way back on Ayin Amid Bein, we had a Gzeri Shavah of Taisha V'Tachar. From there we learned out that an Aro cannot eat Truma. Correct? Right, I'm sorry. We had a Gzeri Shavah of Mimenu. Way back in Ayin Amid Beis, we learned out that Ayin Amid Beis can't eat Pesach from Maiser. Back in Ayin Amid Beis, the Gemara referenced that an Ayin Amid Beis cannot eat Pesach. And the Gemara said, we learned it out from Maiser. If you look at Ayin Amid Beis, about a little more than halfway down. But I give a little bit of the Gemara wanted to know that we use the Gzeira Shava only from Maisha to Pesach to make strict, but can we use it from Pesach to Maisha to make Maisha strict in Aser Oral? That's an Ayin Gimel Lamed Aleph. Right? Rishashis, they asked Rishashis the question. And the question was, does the Gzeira Shava go one way or both ways? And if you remember, Rabbi Cohn had a question, how can you have a Gzeira Shava that only goes one way? So we spoke out, Taisa says, Tutarutzim. And the question is it a real Gzeira Shava? Is it Mufna from both sides or not? That was the question the Gemara had. So the Gemara wanted to know, how strong is the Gzeira Shava? Right? Comes along Rav Yitzchak and he says it's a real Gzeira Shava and it goes in both directions. So Rav Yitzchak is saying the same thing Rav Sheshet said. It's a real Gzeira Shava and it goes in both directions. Rav Sheshet proved it and we got out of his proof. There's no Mishnah that says it. There's no Braita that says it. But there's a Gzeira Shava. And the question is it a real Gzeira Shava that goes in both directions or not? Rav Yitzchak comes along and says, yes, it is. Again, without a proof, he's just reading the Gzeira Shava that way. Just like Rav Sheshet read it that way. Rav Sheshet tried to prove it from a Mishnah. A Mishnah makes it stronger proof that the Mishnah read the Gzeira Shava that way. We got out of every proof, and therefore we had no proof that the Gzeira Shava goes both ways. But the Gzeira Shava exists. That's how we learn how an Ayin and Azusa and Pesach is some Gzeira Shava from Asher Sheni. The question was, how strong is that Gzeira Shava? Both directions or only in one direction? Is it only teaching me the Chumrah by Pesach? Or is it teaching me that Oral is Aser B'maisa? Comes along Rabbi Yitzchak, and he says the Gzeira Shava goes in both directions. Does he prove it? No. That's his opinion. He reads the Gzeira Shava as going in both directions. We don't slug him up. We don't prove him right. But he's an opinion of an Amayra, Rabbi Yitzchak, who joins Rabbi Sheshet in saying that Oral is Aser B'maisa. We have nobody that said the other way. None of the two Amaroim proved their point, but that's their opinion. They're Amaroim. We accept that opinion without a proof. The Gemara tried to prove it and didn't have a proof. I hope I'm explaining myself. Dr. Harris, am I explaining myself?
Yes.
Fine. Dr. Gemara. Okay. Dr. Gemara. Mufli. This Gzeira Shava has to have sukkim that are extra. Remember, way back when, that item of base, we talked about three levels of Gzeira Shava. Gzeira Shava, that's words that are not open. That Gzeira Shava can only be used if it makes logical sense. Gzeira Shava that's open on one pasuk, not open on the other side. That Gzeira Shava is a machloikas tanoim, whether it has to make logical sense. And the Gzeira Shava that's open on both sides, that Gzeira Shava can be used even when it doesn't make any logical sense. Those are the rules of Gzeira Shava. This one from Pesach to Maaser, to learn out that Maaser has the same stringency of Pesach for Oral, it must be Mufna. Eloi Mufni. If not, I would never logically learn Maaser Sheni from Pesach, because Michael and Mivrach Mala Pesach, Shmichiyah, Mala Mivrach, Pigol, Naisha, and Tanei. Pesach is much stricter. There's Pigol, talked about Pigol yesterday, Shechti was the wrong thought. There's Naisher, there's Tanei, a Tanei that eats Kachem is Chayef Karis, whereas opposed to Maaser Sheni, it's only a lav. So, again, you can't learn Maaser from Pesach if you're going to go logically. But if it's a Mufna, if the Gzeira Shava is open, then you can't ask the question. No questions can be asked in a Gzeira Shava that's open on both sides. Dr. Gemara, lai abhuzuya Mufni. Yes, these psukim are open. Why are they open? My Mufni. Why are they open? It says three times the word mimenu by Pesach. It says, al taichlu mimenu na, do not eat half-roasted Pesach. It could have just said, al taichlu na. We know we're talking about Pesach. The Torah adds the word mimenu. Leisesiru mimenu. Could have said, leisesiru. What's mimenu? And the third one, if you look at Rashi, klasa mimenu, ksivi, al taichlu mimenu na, leisesiru mimenu, v'hanayser mimenu. So three times it says the word mimenu by Pesach. Chag Megufe wanted to tell me, what does Megufe for itself, what does itself mean? To tell me that an Einan, sorry, Chag Megufe is to tell me that that I shouldn't think that the way it's explained by Tysus. The Gufa is to tell me that matzah and maror can be eaten half baked or half cooked. I'll take will be menuna, because the Torah is talking about Pesach, matzah and maror. So it has to tell me these restrictions are only by Pesach, not by matzah and maror. That's one. The Chayvin Zeri Shava. And one is a Zeri Shava. That's open Pesach, not necessary for anything, just to be open for Zeri Shava. That's Muchna on one side. The Chad, and the third one, is depends. Now, the Manda Amar Ba'akasim, according to the Manda Amar, it says that the Torah wrote, V'anoysim imenu ad baker, to tell me that the law of leaving over Nicer does not get Malkus, because it can be corrected by burning it. That's called Lav Hanitik Lase. The Torah wrote a law, but wrote a way of correcting it through doing an assay. So according to that, Mandi Amar, I did the Tani Nicer, Ksiv Nami Mimenu. Since the Torah wrote Nicer, it repeated Nicer to tell me that it's correctable. So once it said Nicer, it wrote, Mimenu. And I'm not sure exactly why that works, but the Gemara doesn't seem to think, according to that Mandi Amar, it's a question, right? Because we repeat it, it says don't leave over, and if you leave over, burn it. So once we repeated the word, if you leave over, we put in the word mimenu, because it said loisisir mimenu, so we said vanaisir mimenu. I'm not 100% sure that I understand this, but that's what it says. I'm going to get to in a minute to see what does Art School say on this. Does Art School explain this? Does Art School explain this piece? Does it say anything? No, I don't hear anything. What?
Which one?
Once it says Vanaiser, it says Mimenu. I didn't Kiv Naiser, Kiv Nami Mimenu.
Roasted. It doesn't really say anything, just translates the.
Fine, okay. So that's according to the Mount Amar, it says that the Pasuk is there to remove the Malkus. So according to that Mount Amar, that the Pasuk is there to remove the Malkus, the Torah wrote Mimenu. The Mount Amar, Litloi Biker Shani Lissari Pasuk, is the Mount Amar that says that the Pasuk said, Vabaisi Mimenu Abaiker, to tell me that you don't burn it on Yom Tov. You have to wait till Chol HaMoed to burn it. Right? You eat the Pesach the first night. You would think if it would just say Vanoiser, the Eish Nisraif, it wouldn't say Hanoiser the Menu Ad Baker. It would just say Vanoiser Nisraifu. So we would think you burn it on Yom Tov. So it comes along and says Vanoiser the Menu Ad Baker a second morning, meaning wait till Chol HaMoed. So again, I did the Siv Ad Baker, Siv Nami Mimenu. So once the Torah had to say again, Ad Baker, so it said Mimenu. So both these Mandiyamim seem to think that Mimenu is not extra in the third one. So again, so we have three Mimenus by Pesach. One is to tell me that only Pesach is restricted, half roasted and cooked. One is to tell me Zeru Shavu. And one is there because since the Torah had to write Ad Baker, so the Torah wrote Mimenu as well. That's what the Gemara says. And plus a mimenu ksivi b'maiser. But there's also three mimenus by maiser. Chad legufe. One is to tell me, chad legufe, one is to tell me that an oinon cannot eat maiser, but he's allowed to eat maiser rishon. We learn now that he can eat maiser rishon. That's how the mefarshim learn legufe. The chad legufe, the Rav Yochanan. And one is to tell me, like Rabbi Omer Rabbi Yechanan, that that you're not allowed to burn shemen shemaisha sheni shenitma. We had it earlier, because you're not allowed to consume maisha betumah, but you can consume truma that became tamei. We had that on the bottom of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis in yesterday's Gemara. And the third one, the chadla the Rish Lakish. And one is going to tell me Rish Lakish is halacha, which we'll see later on. But at the end of the day, one of the mimenos is extra. And one of the mimenos is extra is enough to make Xerah Shavah. This Mandi Amar holds you only need Xerah Shavah going in one direction, empty in one direction, one of the words. And therefore, we learn now that an oro is Asir B'mais. Rashi?
Rebbe, he brings down...
I'm sorry, let me just finish Rashi. Okay, yes, what was the question?
No, our school says by Na, he brings from a thesis to the Maram that it's talking about the Pesach itself and not Matzah and the Marah.
Thesis says, take a look at Chag Begufei Thesis. That's what I was quoting. You see it?
Which
I don't know what
article
I'm sorry?
Which Tysus?
Chag Begufei. Okay, I'm going to stop here today. We'll continue tomorrow. I hope to be back in person tomorrow morning. Everybody should have a wonderful day.